Things are going to start happening to me now.
You've done all the reading. You're a scholar. You're a professor. You've done all the reading. You've done the intellectual heavy lifting.
More or less, eat shit and die.
You wouldn't know a fact if it begged you all night long.
Want to, like, give the wrong impression, because I am very high.
F***ing right up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Yeah. Care. I'm a libertarian. What I'm getting is,
did you vote for Joe Jorgensen or Trump?
Who?
Joe Jorgensen? That was the perfect answer. Thank you.
That leaders will not surrender until surrender is academic.
Welcome, everybody, to the Libertarian Podcast Review. Doing just a special, playing with the camera stuff, too. A special little Veterans Day. I wrote a Substack last year about my grandfather, so I thought I'd read it, give you a little idea of what I think, just a little family background, I guess, in this case. There's my grandma and grandpa, Leslie Nelson. He served in World War One. So let's go up here. This is called Everyone's a Hero, and mellow out the sound here a little bit. Hope everyone's having a good Memorial Day? Veterans Day. Everyone's a hero. And you can find this on my Substack, tyleryonke.substack.com. Everyone's a hero. Our current world calls people heroes for simply going to work during a pandemic while posting dancing videos of themselves on TikTok. Other people are called heroes for teaching kids online while wearing a mask in an empty room. The word hero used to be reserved for a military. Even then, like being a teacher, you shouldn't be called a hero just because of your job. Seems now that many feel they need affirmation from the government just to justify their lifestyle status, or even whether they should be considered, quote, honorable. But has that always been the case? I didn't serve in the military, neither did my dad. But my dad's father did, my grandfather, Leslie Yonke, served in World War I. He has an interesting story, and it's a story that is probably why my dad never chose to serve, and the same for me. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest in the Walla Walla, Washington Valley, except I was just across the border from Washington in Oregon in a small town called Milton Freewater. The valley is about 250 miles directly east of Portland, Oregon, and we were removed from the liberal influence of the Western cities. We grew up in a conservative farming town with three colleges and the state penitentiary. One college is a community college, Walla Walla Community College. One is a Christian college, Walla Walla University. And the other is a liberal arts college, Whitman College, heavy on emphasis on liberal. I'm an alumnus of Walla Walla U. But Whitman is famous for their theater, with such star attendees as Batman's Adam West and the A-Team's Dirk Benedict, Face Man. With these colleges in our midst, we had some culture in our town, but the main industry was agriculture, with a lot of migrant workers. Around the late 1990s, the town turned into a wine valley juggernaut, with big celebrity Drew Bledsoe returning home to establish Bledsoe Family Winery. It's a beautiful place to raise a family and enjoy life. There's a picture of Drew and his wife out in Walla Walla. The sentiment of this town outside the professor community was very patriotic, and I grew up with these ideals as well. But while our family revered the military, we also had a healthy skepticism of how the government treats its military veterans. My dad was born in 1943 and graduated high school in 1961. He was too young for the Korean War and kept missing out on the Vietnam War, or Vietnam draft, by first being in college, and then by being married, and then by being married with kids. He did lose some friends to the war, as many of his generation did. My dad's stance on Vietnam was something like, they call it a police action, but what they really need to be done is a full military action or nothing at all. My dad was the youngest of five kids, and completely a surprise and accident, due to the late appearance of my father to this world from his siblings. They were 15 years older, and it put his parents in the World War I generation, not World War II, as many parents were of his friends. His parents were in their late 40s, in fact. My grandfather was born in 1895. And in the 11th grade when he joined the military to serve in World War I. I'm not sure if he joined or if he was drafted. Since he joined the military in 1917 and the draft was instituted in 1917, I assume the evil Woodrow Wilson was responsible for my grandfather's conscription and essentially slavery to fight the Kaiser. While my grandfather was German, he was born in the USA, and our family lineage in the US goes back far enough to put me out of the Nazi problems of many Germans. Discharge and court-martial. My grandfather was discharged from the military in 1919 and court-martialed, resulting in a dishonorable discharge and a 15-year prison sentence at Leavenworth Prison. Leslie had been called up for service while in the 11th grade, not even out of high school. After the war, he was stationed in Georgia and given a clerical job. Leslie was a devout Christian of the Seventh-day Adventist, SDA, faith. The religion has some aspects of Judaism, such as observing the Sabbath, sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. And Leslie refused to work on Saturday, his Sabbath. A local military order allowed SDA members to observe their Sabbath as long as they worked on Sunday. But an officer didn't like this and reported Leslie for not working, and court-martial sided with the officer. There's a picture of my grandpa, my grandma. That was 1983 in the newspaper. Leslie's sentence was commuted from 15 years to 5 years, and he ended up only serving about 6 months of his sentence. But possibly more punishing than the 6 months of prison was not being able to ever receive benefits for the service he gave to his country. With the dishonorable discharge, Leslie wasn't allowed a military pension, no pay for when he mustered out, no education funds, no wartime funds from the World War I Adjusted Compensation Act, Bonus Act. And when he got out of the federal prison, he still had to complete his high school education. Leslie completed his education, completed college, got married, lived a very long life, including 65 years of marriage. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan had Leslie's case reviewed, and it was determined the officer and court-martial erred. Reagan gave Leslie his honorable status and the dignity everyone knew that Leslie already had, but now it was in writing. For years, my grandfather would get a picture from President Reagan and Nancy with a personal letter for which he was very proud. But where does honor come from? Looking back, I'm baffled at how a man of honor could be forced into service, give his all, stand up for his principles, and then put in prison for it by his government, and yet always a patriotic man. Some might say Leslie just was ignorant and didn't really hate the state as he should have. Maybe. But when I remember my grandfather, he was a forgiving, God-fearing, and peaceful man, a man that would bring me a tuna fish sandwich after mowing his lawn, even though I didn't like it, and always had ice cream for a snack. More importantly, however, Leslie took a stand for his convictions, and he kept these convictions to the day he died. Leslie had every right to hate his country and the government for the way they used and then abused him. But instead, he decided to be an upstanding member of his community, an amazing husband, a loving father and grandfather. It is my belief his country treated him about as bad as they could, but it's also my belief that Leslie's true sense of worth and honor wasn't predicated on the government's endorsement, but on how his God and community viewed him. We all would be well served to find our self-worth outside of a government decree or a social media post, and instead from a higher power and community of friends. And then I link to a news story of Leslie from 1983. I think he was 90 something when he passed away in 87, somewhere in that range. So he's a good guy. He and my grandma, they lived a long life. My parents are still alive. But anyway, that is my quick little Veterans Day. And the idea there, the concept to really take away from what I'm posting out here is that are we, and this goes with marriage, gay marriage or whatnot, does a certificate mean that you should be respected? Does a certificate mean, a government stamp mean that you then should be honored, should be respected for your beliefs or whatnot? No, it doesn't. Those beliefs and those respect and everything else you have, they're usually given to you by friends, family, and those are actually building respect in the community. All right. That's all I have for now. Check us out on all our podcast forums, but I hope you enjoyed the Veterans Day, and I hope it was good for you. Take care.
Okay, I'm leaving now, bye guys.
But she's back.
And now.
Chick-fil-A is completely overrated. It's not that good. I prefer Zaxby's. I prefer Popeyes.
Takes a tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick. I guess that's me. Keep fucking that chicken.
Should I vote for Dick Cheney on the Libertarian Party? Do I have an obligation to vote for Dick Cheney?
I would say so.
Yes.
Did it work for those people?
No, it never does. I mean, these people somehow delude themselves into thinking it might, but... but it might work for us.
That one dude was like, not a podcast, I can't find it anywhere, and they don't have video.
Oh, yeah, Peter Janky, yeah.
Yeah, I blocked him.
I'll do it. If he unblocks me, I'll...
He'll buy your shirt if you unblock him, Bert.
He's a wigger.
Yeah, nothing cooler than so a 49-year-old wigger. Like,
I just started live streaming. Cut me some slack. I'm pretty high-tech for a boomer. But anyways...
Boomer.